We are in the book of Revelation. Would you go to Revelation chapter 6? I want to read verses 12 through 17, and that's the end of the sixth chapter, starting at verse 12. Six verses. And this is the subject matter that Bible teachers refer to as the great day of God's wrath. Let me say a word to you about these verses. These verses are not the end of history. Now, I just want to remind you for the record that past the third chapter, we don't find references to the church. So the church is not here after we get through those initial chapters. And so when we come to like the sixth chapter, it's going to seem like, boy, this show's over, isn't it? Nope, not really. It's not the end of history, but in the sixth chapter, it's the beginning of the end. And the people who are living during this time will probably think it is the end, but it's not. In fact, we're going to come to the breaking of the sixth seal, and that's going to take us into the last 3.5 years. Remember that when the church leaves, then the one who has been hindering, meaning the Holy Spirit, hindering the work of the devil on this earth, hindering the work of the Antichrist, when the Holy Spirit is removed and taken out of the way, the church is gone, because the presence of the Holy Spirit in his hindering the work of the Antichrist is through the people of God. And when the church is gone, we enter into what's known as a tribulation period of 7 years. There is 3.5 years on the front end, a very brief time in the middle, and then the last 3.5 years. And the devil does some deceitful setup in the front part, and he will absolutely unleash all of the evil you could possibly imagine in the last 3.5 years. So the breaking of the sixth seal will bring us to the end of the first 3.5 years. A lot of Bible teachers will refer to the 7 years as tribulation period, but the last 3.5 as the great tribulation period. So I just want to read the text, and let's talk about this. May we do that? If you're at Revelation 6, verse 12, please say amen. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell under the earth, even as a fig tree will cast her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. You and your family may have had or currently have a fig bush or fig tree. I grew up with one. Everywhere we lived, we had a great big fig bush or fig tree. And I learned to eat raw figs right off of it. But I also know when it's untimely and bad winds come, the tree gives up its figs. Verse 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. Now get the picture. Here's the scroll. It's unrolled. And when the scroll is rolled up, he said the heavens departed like a scroll that's rolled up. You don't see them anymore. When the scroll is rolled up, the scroll is rolled up. It's not out to be seen. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Let that dawn on you. We're going to have something happening here of monumental proportion. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, like every slave and every free person, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath. That's where the title comes from. The great day of his, God's wrath, is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, we want to take this passage and make several divisions. First of all, won't you look with me at the phenomena that's in creation. You know what a phenomena is, or a phenomenon. It is some type of occurrence, seen or unseen, and it is extraordinary. That's why it's called, it's not an everyday occurrence, it's a phenomenon. And so we see the phenomena in creation, and we're going to see what this boils down to. He calls it here in this verse 12, a great earthquake. The word earthquake is seismos. You remember when there is an earthquake, some news report will tell you that that earthquake registered so-and-so, or the seismograph registered so-and-so on the scale. The seismograph is the machine. I saw one when we went to Yellowstone. You've seen them on television, and they're registering the movement of the plates in the earth. And so the word is a Greek word from which we get seismograph. It is the word earthquake, seismos. It means it's a commotion. It means it's a shaking. And so in verse 13, interestingly, if you look back at your text, and the stars of heaven fell on the earth, even as a fig that cast her untimely figs when she's shaken. The word shaken means to vibrate, means to agitate, it means to move, and it's a form of the same word of seismos. So the shaking is a part of the judicial administration of God. He's the one that's causing the shaking to take place. Now, I'm going to mention some things in prophecy at times, and you may say, well, I don't understand that at all. But remember, we don't have to understand anything to let God be God. Folks, when the earth quakes, God is behind it. How do I know that? It's His creation. When the storms come, God is behind it. Now, heaven forbid it happen. But we may be in our home some night and a tornado hit and blow the thing away. My parents, before I was born, at 2 a.m. were in the bed knowing that the winds are howling and it's a bad storm. And that house literally obliterated like a bomb went off. And you didn't find hardly anything left except up on the mantle, the chimney remained. And they had one of those, I think back in those days, they referred to them as Big Ben clocks. You'd wind them up, tick, 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 tick. They have to get out in that storm because of the nature of what are you going to do. They didn't own a car. So they walked to neighbors in the midst of that. And the next morning at daylight, of course, the storm has passed, and they go down there and see. My dad happened to have the flashlight in his hand when the two before fell and hit right over his head, hit the flashlight, knocked the end out of it. But they came out without a scratch. But the next morning at daylight, when they got down there, the clock was tick, 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 tick. It obliterated the house, but the clock didn't move. Now, folks, God's behind that. And I don't have to believe tonight if my house burns down, or heaven forbid if the storm comes and blows it away, I don't have to believe that God is against me. Why? There's a place called Calvary that said God is for me if I've repented of my sin. And I'm not going to let the destruction of a house or something like that cause me to doubt in the great mercies of my God when I see how He was willing for His Son to be treated for me. And God is behind that stuff. And you say, well, I just can't buy into that. Well, who's behind it? Joe Biden? Who's behind it? A bunch of scientists? If y'all don't mind me saying so, I have heard all that I think my stomach can stand about global warming. I don't care what happens. If your washing machine quits tonight, it's global warming. Everything's global warming. And folks, they're telling us, and I'll tell you why they're telling us, because the creatures are now worshiping the creation more than the Creator. And they've told us how, it's interesting, they told us in one report how the sun was going to burn out. Now we just heard in the last 2 weeks how they're going to release stuff in the atmosphere trying to block the sun. And I'm thinking, you folks are showing how infantile you are. This is God's business. And God controls the weather. But if it fits a political narrative, you couldn't dare let it alone, because that's what, you know, politics nature is. Now, let's talk about this business of what shakes, okay? I'm going to give you some examples there on your screen. You go back into the Old Testament when the Lord came down on Mount Sinai. The mountain trembled, and the text says the earth shook and the rocks were split open. That's in Exodus 19. When Elijah complained to God that the prophets of the Lord were destroyed and the altars of the Lord were cast down, the Lord passed by and great earthquakes tore the mountain apart. That's in 1 Kings chapter 1. When Jesus died, the whole earth quaked and the rocks were split open. Matthew 27. When Paul and Silas, according to Acts chapter 16, were in jail at midnight, the Bible says the earth quivered and shook. God is behind that. And as we look at the darkness of the sun, the same thing occurs when God the Father turned his back on his own son, when he, as Jehovah, had laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the Bible lets us know from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, that's from noon to 3 o'clock, the whole creation had turned dark. In fact, very dark. And when God sent judgment on the people of Egypt, they said the darkness was so great that you could feel it. I heard my parents say, before I was too young to know anything about the scriptures, "It's as dark as Egypt in here." I heard them also use the expression, "It's just black as pitch out there." Well, pitch was what they put on the ark, was like a black tar substance. And so every mountain and every island, according to what the text says, is going to be moved out of place. And if you want to just do your own historical research, you can do this. You do understand, don't you, that since the beginning of what we would call records, that the continents have not always been where they are right now. You understand there's been some division on the continents. You hear them talk about we lost an ocean, we gained an ocean. Just like when there's great movements, you can find places where water gathers. It used to not gather there because it was open. Folks, this is my Father's world. He is the Creator. And he can just move it around any way he wants to, and he won't call me and say, "Wayne, what do you think about that? Are you kidding me?" And he's not going to do that for anybody else. And folks, when the time has come and gone, as we know it, the Bible says that this old creation is going to be folded up like an old garment, like an old vesture. But we got people right now that save the planet, save the planet. Now listen, we've been put here for while we're here as caretakers. We ought not just see if we can make the water polluted. We ought not just throw trash out on the side of the road. That's not something we're supposed to do, because the earth is the stewardship of God's people. But to think that we're going to salvage it and we're going to see to it that it returns to its original pristine condition when God created it is a joke. When you get folks like us, you get pollution. Physically and spiritually. I don't even want to say this. I got a report across my phone a moment ago, right before I came out. There's a certain subway place in a neighboring town. Thank God not in this one. They fired two employees because they got them on video spitting in your food. You know why people do that? Because there's corruption down in here. People are corrupt. And people will throw, you know, I see them sometimes in the road. They roll the window down. There went a can. There went a bottle. There went paper. Would you like for somebody to do that at your house? My good friend and longtime friend, James Jordan, sitting over there. He was my neighbor when I moved to Valdosta Beth. I think we lived there 7 years. I get up on a Saturday morning and I look out on my lawn and there's a beer can. Well, I'm not going to leave a beer can on my lawn. And I go out in the front yard, and just as I bend over, I hear a voice of James Jordan say, "Preacher, was you out late last night?" F- phenomenon in creation. Now, let me tell you what that says to me. I don't want bad things happening to anybody, even those that I think are not good people. I never sit around and say, Lord, I wish you'd have an earthquake, just open up the earth and swallow his whole house. I never have felt that. I've been upset with people, but I don't really want people hurt. But folks, let me tell you something. God is God when I understand it, and he's still God when I don't understand it. That's what I've got to trust in. He does many a thing I can't explain, but one of these days in his presence, I'm either going to know the answer or it's not going to matter. I, along with many of you, may have said, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask so-and-so. We might not. It might not even be important, folks, when we finally get to glory. What we thought was important down here is a whole other thing. So that's the phenomenon in creation. Now, I want us to notice in verse 14 the meaning of the signs. Look at verse 14. The heavens departed like a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of their places. And, folks, the earthquake is a symbol of something, and that is the breakup of something. And it's a breakup, prophetically speaking, of civil, social, ecclesiastical, that's a 50-cent word for church or religious authority. It's a breakup of civilized government, of human institutions, and these events are pictures of a very dramatic upheaval and dissolving of all governmental and civil authority throughout. I have people ask me from time to time, not on a regular basis, but Pastor, where is the United States in prophecy? Well, as you are watching us become a third world nation, folks, the United States is not an issue in prophecy. We don't exist as a superpower time you get to where we're talking about here. And some of our finest leaders. And I don't want this, you know, folks, when you hold a public position, you need to be careful how you call their names. They become the object of every type of criticism. But in this moment, as a general rule, some of our elected officials in every form of government are some of the most crooked, evil people that's ever lived. Just don't say it out loud, but think of some federal institutions and what some people have done who now we know. Think of the chaos created by the upper echelon medical people in this country, and now we know emphatically from emails that while they told us one thing, they knew something different as they sent it to people in their department. That's evil. That's wicked. That is signs of the breakup of that which once had order and morality and dignity to it. And the earthquake is merely a physical symbol when stuff's breaking apart. That's prophetically a symbol of what's taking place as we are now, right now, in the what I would call minor tremors. Was you ever around? Was you ever in an earthquake? I remember being very young, still in my teens, my brother was over in a rocker, laid back in a lazy boy, and it would have been normal for me to be doing something I shouldn't do to him to aggravate him. And I'm standing over there, I hadn't said anything, and he's kind of had his eyes closed, and then all of a sudden, I felt what he felt, and he did this way. What are you doing? And boy, when he looked around and I wasn't there, he looks and sees me on the other side of the room, he said, what was that? Well, they announced that afternoon that there's been an earth tremor that's shaken some houses in the Hart County area. And folks, it can get your attention. And I've heard these people from the West Coast say, you don't have any idea what it's like when the whole jiggle starts with a serious earthquake and the bridges fall and the earth opens up. So there's a great shaking, and the meaning of this sign is that it's all, folks, coming. We used to say coming apart at the seams. All you need to do to hasten that is push God out of anything, because by him, the Bible says, all things consist. And I find it interesting that that verse is generally referring to creation, by him all things consist. Folks, it's by him that your life consists and is held together. And when you leave God out of your life, you fall apart. It's by him that your family is held together. When God gets out of the family, your family falls apart. It's by him that the church is held together. When God's no longer in the church and being honored as he should in the church falls apart. Same way in the institutions of government, because God, the Bible says, the powers that be, speaking of government, are ordained of God, and they have a responsibility to him, according to the Scriptures, to reward that which is good and to penalize that which is evil. And the text of Scripture says that they do not bear the sword in vain. His people in government have a sword in order to punish that which is unrighteous. And when you get a justice department that could be called an injustice department, that does not penalize certain people because of a two- or three-tiered system of justice, then, folks, it's falling apart at the seams. God wouldn't do that. Why? How do we know he wouldn't do that? Because he is not a respecter of people, and if it's wrong for you, it's wrong for Wayne Robertson. If it's right somewhere else, it's right for me, too. But men, of course, not that way. So that's the meaning of the sign. Now notice the response of men in verse 15 through 17. Well, obviously, when you look at verse 15, they're terrified. Look at it. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, those who are bondmen, slaves, and free men, they hid themselves in the dens. Why? They're terrified. And they hid themselves in the rocks of the mountain. What about that? Verse 15, they hid themselves. They're frightened. They're terror-stricken. Verse 16, they say these things are, in essence, look at it. Look at verse 16 again. They said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Folks, they are acknowledging that what's happening is coming from the Almighty One. They're not saying, why is this happening? They know why it's happening. It's coming from the Almighty One. They must at this point believe that their sin is a reality and that there is a God who has come to judge their naked, depraved souls, and every soul before God is naked, either depraved or redeemed, one or the other. The phrase in verse 16, they use the wrath of the Lamb. Remember that a lamb is gentle. He's the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He's the spotless Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Folks, the Lamb is a gentle, merciful, patient, long-suffering, and a very kind animal. And Christ is kind to those that turn to him. But the same gentle Lamb, Jesus Christ, can be and at some point will be full of judgment, indignation, and wrath toward those that reject his forgiveness. Now, what is interesting to me about these final verses, you would think, since they find this thing happening because of the Almighty One, you would think they would say, God, save us, save us, have mercy on us, O Lord. You think they're calling out to God? No, they're calling out to the mountains and the dumb rocks. Rather than call on a living God, they're calling on a dead rock. Just like Adam and Eve, you think when they sinned, they ran toward God? No, 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 they ran from God. And that's what we're finding here. So this is the proof that judgment by itself, folks, doesn't change anybody. Let me just clarify this and make this as applicable as I know how. You and I have known people that went through some bad stuff and they turned to God. And when they do, we praise God for it. Amen? But I also know, and you do too, people went through bad stuff and they didn't turn to God at all. Why? Because bad stuff doesn't by itself turn anybody to God. It takes grace. And if grace would be ministered through trouble, then may the trouble come. But grace is not always ministered in trouble. I want to conclude with something I hope will be a blessing to you. When we think about all the rocks that's been moved, the mountains, and all the trouble, most of us in this room would have grown up on an old hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Now, sometimes we spend a lifetime thinking about these hymns, So let's just look at that just a moment. Rock of ages, cleft. You know what a cleft is? It's an opening. Cleft palate is an opening in the palate. But rock of ages, who's the rock of ages? Jesus has an opening for me. Let me hide myself in you. Why? That's the only place you can find protection is hiding in Jesus. You're not going to have it hiding in the hills out yonder. But when you are in Christ Jesus, you are safe. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin, meaning concerning sin, that water and blood is the double cure. How's it a double cure? It saves us from wrath. That's justification. It makes us pure. That's sanctification. Folks, don't run out yonder and get in the cracks of those rocks, because they're not going to help you. But there is a rock of ages that has an opening. Hallelujah. By grace, did you find that opening? Are you in that rock tonight? Well, let me tell you something. Whatever is coming prophetically, we don't understand it all, but here's what we do understand. If you're in the rock of ages, you ain't got a thing to worry about, because you are in the one safe place. And aren't we grateful for God making salvation so full, so rich, so free? Amen. Father, help us to realize the seriousness of living for you. And help us to want to share with our neighbors and friends and family that there's some stuff coming. And the people that's not living for God today are not going to be equipped for that day. And it makes a lot more sense spiritually to cry out to you for saving grace than it does later on to cry out to the mountains and the rocks. I want to thank you for the one who is the rock of ages. And I thank you for the salvation that's found in him. I praise you for your son. I thank you for grace. I thank you for the demonstration of your mercy. And I pray that God the Holy Spirit would work in our lives, in and through this church, and through us, to be the witness to this community that she needs. Bless us this night. Bless those that may need to receive you as Savior and Lord. Give, Lord, the true spirit of repentance, and grant that the remainder of this week we shall revel in the reality that you love us and that you gave yourself for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? Jeffrey's going to lead us in a hymn of commitment. So